you know, I think looking back for me and pictures of myself in high school, especially college, it was so apparent that my clothes were wearing me and I wasn't wearing my clothes. Mm. And the huge shift that happened when I came out and fully embraced all, you know, dimensions and aspects of me, including being gay, that's when I'm like, I'm rocking this outfit. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge shift that happens, I think. Mm.
Hey y'all, welcome back to Made It Out. Today I'm here with one of my best friends, Cage. And we're talking about style and how it evolves as you grow into your queerness. Tell me about growing up. Who's Cage? What were you like? What was your family like?
So I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm the middle of three kids. So I have an older sister, younger brother. We're very close, even at super young age. We're really active kids. We're always like getting dirty, like building forts, whittling sticks, and like very tomboy like energy for me, especially as a kid. There are like dozens of pictures of me as from like infancy where my dad would insist on throwing me in like a backwards hat from like I literally came like home from the hospital hat backwards. And I like to this day, I'll ask him why me? Why not Alexis? You know, or like why? And why is it backwards? And he was like, you just always look so cute and comfortable and natural in it. Like you just aww, wore it in a way that was like really comfortable, it seemed. And so there's like all this footage of me having like, you know, scuff knees and like jorts and backwards hats and stuff, like a little boy kid almost. I wasn't really into, you know, going to Limited 2 or like Sephora.
Oh my God,
like
Limited 2.
Getting my nails done with my mom or like getting my hair curled. Like I just wasn't like what I wanted to do in my spare time. I wanted to play sports or like video games. And I wore a lot of like Abercrombie polos and puka shell necklaces. And
no,
like, I went, yeah, like every one of my like middle school photos, I look like I grew up in Venice Beach when like I just so badly wanted to be that.
Right.
But yeah, it was like kind of this surfer sort of wannabe like energy that's, in my opinion, more masculine than something where, you know, I didn't have like tight curls in my hair with like lip gloss and my nails painted. So I definitely found my niche in more of like that masculine side, even through high school.
And what about your sexuality?
Yeah, high school, I definitely wanted, you know, I wanted to like boys and I wanted boys to like me. There wasn't even like an iota of me at that age thinking at all that I could be interested in women or that I am gay. I definitely had the crushes on all of my English teachers, for sure. Like there's a dead giveaway there. Why was I flying English with passing colors and like struggling in algebra? Because all of my English teachers were hot bombshell women and every guy taught algebra. So,
okay, I'm sorry. High school English teachers are a thing.
They put a spell on you. It's something about them.
They're always hot. English teacher also. Yeah. And I was always so intimidated and nervous to go to her class. And I would like work so hard on my journals.
Yeah, overtime.
Because
you're putting
like, oh
in work overtime.
She's going to read these.
Yeah. So looking back, it's like, okay, there were aspects of me where I didn't realize at the time.
Right.
I'm like attracted in a different way. I didn't know what that was, but I just thought like, oh no, I just really want to crush English. And I'm really good at it. And I'm putting in so much more time at home working on my English essays than any other subject.
I love English.
I will be an English teacher. Yeah.
Okay. So when did you start to figure out your sexuality? Now we're moving into like college. Is it then?
Oh God. College was huge for me. College was like paramount. I was so pumped to get to college and I fully experienced like threw myself at hookup culture.
Okay. And with guys?
Guys only.
Guys
and
only.
I was like, this is what I'm here to do.
With your puka shells. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get a picture.
The puka shells were left in eighth grade.
Okay.
But anyway, I throw myself quite literally at guys and I'm like, okay, let's do this. And like, I've never really done this. I want to explore what this is like. This is what people do in college and I'm here for it. Unsurprisingly, it was like really unfulfilling. It didn't pan out into like any actual dating relationships with guys. I never had a college boyfriend. I never went on dates with a guy. No man, no grown man or semi-grown in college, thought to like take me out to a date, which kind of crush you, like, right? In college, like you're trying, you're having these like flings or these like drunken hookups or whatever. And it kind of sucks when it doesn't pan out the next day into like, yeah, let's grab coffee. So I was like, okay, that might just be, you know, how this is.
Yeah. That's so discouraging.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where you're at with your sexuality. Where are we at with our style?
You thought puka shells were bad?
Oh no, I'm on the edge of my seat.
So college me again. I'm so excited to be here, and I just do whatever I want in terms of what I'm wearing. So,
but also we have the filter of trying to attract men because we're in this hookup.
Yes,
phase.
Yeah, you would think so.
Oh, okay,
but like that didn't matter. I think I really embodied. I have like this little chip on my shoulder sometimes where I'm like, you should want me as I am. I'm not really dressing for like the male gaze. This is me. This is how I dress. If you want some of this, here's my number. And what that looked like in practice was fucking bizarre. Like I would rock up to class dead ass with like Sperry's mid-calf socks, athletic shorts, some like Ralph Lauren, like crew neck or like polo or lacrosse penny.
What is that?
Like what you train in like during like a lacrosse match or something, because I was trying out for club lacrosse.
Need
and like a backwards hat with my hair down, and I had these big over ear like navy blue Beats headphones.
Love.
And I was like, please take me seriously and
fuck me now.
Yeah. And unsurprisingly, no one wanted to. No man, I should say. And so my guy friends would start calling me like these nicknames, and people around campus would start calling me these like nicknames because of what I'm wearing. So I would get Lax Girl, Polo Girl, Beats Girl. The worst one, not worst, but the most like intense one, which I actually was very fond of at the time, was Swag Bear.
I'm gonna start calling you that. I'm changing your name in my phone.
My guy friends would literally call me Swag Bear. They're like, and I'm like, what is that? And they're like, you just have so much swag. Like everything is just so effort. Like you're just cool girl swag. And I thought it was endearing. Like, you guys are giving me this like affectionate name. You're gay. Like it's a gay thing. I mean, they weren't calling me gay, but that nickname is so gay.
Swag Bear.
Like it's what woman? Like, come on. So fair. Again, like the signs were there. Like right. people were noticing it about me before I was ready.
So did anyone ever come to you and be like,
oh my God, you get three shots of tequila or like pinnacle whipped vodka in these girls in college.
Pinnacle whipped vodka with pineapple juice.
With
was
the orange Fanta.
Oh,
it's
my.
A creamsicle.
Oh my God, let's have that tonight.
Who wants to get drunk off a creamsicle? So it's... it was this weird thing that happened where after a couple of shots of tequila or a few drinks, like girls would start coming up and being like, whoa, like you are just, I've seen you and girl, I want some of that.
They
and I
was want like, some of swag.
And I was just kind of like, I don't, guys, you are so sweet. But I don't.
It's going right over your head.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, that's just not me. I mean, maybe you have the wrong swag pair. I was like, you know, that's just not me. I've never in my life, I had never thought until that point that I was like remotely into women until,
oh my God, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Until the penultimate first girlfriend.
In college. Okay.
All the way up until my senior year, I'm hooking up with just men. Like it's not going anywhere. Nothing's happening. And I knew of this girl because we had a lot of mutual friends. You know, everyone knows each other. And I knew that she was out and gay. Like, it was just kind of common knowledge. So one night, I'm at my favorite bar, and I see her. And I was like, oh, my God, I have to do it. And so I just downed two shots by myself, like a freak. And I needed courage. And I went up to her, and I just said, hi, I'm Cage. Like, can we talk? We went home together.
Like, oh my God.
We dated for a year.
Swag Bear, baby.
Swag Bear Pools, baby. No, but it was like this incredible moment where I met this person, and there was something truly innate within me about recognizing that she was out and super confident in who she was. And I found that so attractive. Mm-hmm. And we spent every single day together after that. We dated for a year in complete secrecy. So I have two girl roommates, and I tell them every night, going to Tom's,
Tom.
Going to sleep at Tom's. Tom's making bolognese. Tom's taking me out to dinner. And they're like, you and Tom are going so strong. And I'm like, yeah, we are. It's crazy. Kids on the way.
Oh, my God.
The entire time it was her. But I was so scared too. I didn't know what this meant. I didn't know if I just liked her.
Right.
Or if I liked women. What does this mean? So I would escape literally every night. And I would go to her house, which became this like oasis of inclusivity and welcomeness. And it was like when I walked through the doors, the former me just like washed off. Aww. And I could be exactly who I am.
Right.
And but I was learning all of that newness about myself.
Well, yeah, because also it's like you had all of these dead end experiences with these guys.
Yeah.
And then you go, you're like, come home with me. And then this one goes on. It's like, okay, yeah, the next day, let's go get that coffee or let's continue it.
It's like living in this alternate reality where I'm like, wait, hold up. I think this is exactly how it's supposed to be.
It's just not with who.
It's just not with who I've been told it's supposed to be with.
Yes.
There was a moment where this is like a core memory. I remember getting dressed in her house, or I showed up and I was wearing like ripped jeans, I think Vans or something, and a flannel with like a hat. And one of her roommates walked by like brushing her teeth and she was like, you are so fucking gay. And I was like, now wait a goddamn minute. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, because I'm wearing a flannel. And I got something about me was really triggered. Like that activated. Really triggered me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you mean I'm dressing gay? I have girlfriends. I have female cousins who are very feminine and they wear like street wear. Like to a T, like really tomboy, almost grunge kind of look sometimes. Jordans, really baggy jeans. But when they do it, it's chic. But when I do it, it's gay. So explain that to me. And they were like, I can't explain it. You're just gay. And I was like, I think what you mean to say is I am the most accurate version of myself in these clothes. Mm. And that confidence is coming through because I'm gay. I'm right. Not, you know.
Like maybe that's a costume or a night out or an outfit for those people, but that is like who you feel.
Yeah, and it's so authentic.
Right. What do you think the correlation is between style and being queer?
Huge. I think everyone has experienced that correlation at some point, you know, along their journey. I think
like the shift.
Yeah, and it's just the relationship that they mm-hmm. both play. I think, you know, personal style is personal expression. Just like the way in which you decorate your house, the music you listen to, the car you drive, the haircut that you have, everything is like personal expression. And it seems like when you aren't inherently sure at your core, maybe who you are, and you're going through that journey of figuring that out, it is hard to then convey through those like art forms, mm-hmm. through like your personal style or the things you listen to or, you know, the way your hair looks. That confidence, because you don't really know the true you yet. You are figuring that out. You're learning really new things about yourself. And so for me, that's represented in, you know, one minute I'm boho, then I'm like tomboy, and maybe I want to wear this. And those things are kind of at odds because you are at odds a little with yourself. You mm-hmm. haven't figured it out. And sometimes that can feel like unsettling, and that can come across as like unsettled attire, mm-hmm. Or like a not really put together, not really cohesive outfit, mm-hmm. for example. You know, I think looking back for me and pictures of myself in high school, especially college, it was so apparent that my clothes were wearing me and I wasn't wearing my clothes. Mm. And the huge shift that happened when I came out and fully embraced all, you know, dimensions and aspects of me, including being gay. That's when I'm like, I'm rocking this outfit. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge shift that happens, I think.
I agree. I feel like in all of these conversations that I have with people about kind of the gay journey, it is a level of self-work and introspection. It requires that to know yourself on that level. Yeah. And so I think you're right that like when you do go inside and figure out those feelings, you just become more true to yourself, and that shows outwardly and whatever you know, way you want to express that. Like with you, that's really, it's clothes.
Yeah. And I think in that way, your clothes and your wardrobe become kind of like this time capsule. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always joke that like my wardrobe is like my most prized possession. Like if my house was burning, like I'll grab the photo albums, but I'm grabbing the clothes. Like,
I believe that.
Because it's, I've spent so much of my life, like really figuring that out. Like what do I want my clothes to say about me? And what am I feeling like today? And how do I want to represent that? And, you know, over time, I have the section of my closet that has been reserved for these like emotional support femme pieces has slowly like whittled and whittled, like down to the point where there's maybe like a couple rompers and like maybe a pair of wedges left. I'm like, you know what? One day I reserve the right to like keep that door open. And like maybe I do want to jump back in and like explore that and like that more feminine side of me that, you know, for the most part has I've drifted away from that.
Right.
But it's this really cool thing that's like, it's your, my closet has become this like very representative, like symbolic journey of me, my coming, where I am along my coming out journey. And, you know, today I'm in a place where I love every single piece. Mm. I meticulously maintain it. I take so much pride in the fact that I've given myself so much space to like really figure it out. Mm-hmm. And so every piece is like really special to me because it's like, oh, I got this when I was like really unsure about wearing this type of shoes. Mm. Or I got this thing when, you know, this shows my arm and my arms, I have two, like this shows my arms in a way that maybe the clothes I was wearing before didn't. And right. So every piece is like really special. And I think collectively it's just like, yeah, this is me now today. Like I'm the most evolved version of myself I am at this moment.
Okay. So what is the key to building the perfect closet?
I think it starts with drawing inspiration from somewhere.
Okay.
Like many things. Like we have to start with what inspires us. So with your wardrobe, I think thinking of someone, maybe it's a celebrity, maybe it's a friend of yours, someone you see on TV. So for me, for example, what this looks like in practice is, this is so on the nose. Jacob Elordi. Love his style. Mm-hmm. He's also very tall. So for someone like me who I'm 5'10 when I decide to stand up straight. And I like his, you know, masculine, but he has some feminine touches to some of his accessories. But he always looks really effortless and like comfortably put together in his clothes. Mm-hmm. Like he's wearing his clothes really well. Mm-hmm. He also probably gets things tailored, which I can't stress enough, is like the secret to things looking really sharp on you. Mm. I love Mary-Kate and Ashley's style. You know, if we want to talk about like a man and some women who are doing things right in my eyes for my particular style.
Mary-Kate and Ashley now or like...
Now, oh okay. They're crushing. I mean, what are we talking, Billboard Dad?
That's like, what I'm thinking. I'm like, okay.
Like the gummy shoes.
Like, are we
they
rocking
were rocking puka shell necklaces for sure. They put those on the map. They set it up so I could knock it down. But yeah, like them now, like their fashion line and what they wear nowadays is like grown adults, I think is awesome. Like I love how chic everything looks. It looks really lived in, comfortable. A lot of neutrals. I love neutrals. You're not really going to see me wearing like too many pops of color. So I look at those people as my inspiration, for example, and I really, it's easy to say I like what they're wearing and what they're wearing looks really good on them. It's harder to go the next step further and say like what specifically. So having like a critical eye, Jacob Elordi, for example, what do I like about his style? Well, for me, I like that specifically with how long his legs are, as someone who has very long legs, I like how high-waisted his pants are, how they elongate visually his legs. So I'm looking at like, well, where do his pants hit him? Do they go all the way to the floor? What's the inseam like? Are they tapered? Are they pleated? What's the material? What does he pair a high-waisted pant with in terms of a top? Is he wearing something cropped? How does he balance baggy versus more slim fit? What accessories are we playing with? So really having like a critical eye when you look at someone's outfit in its entirety to know what specifically you like about it is really hard, but very helpful.
But question about this, mm-hmm. because do you have to pick someone who has your same body proportions? Because here's what happens to me. I see this like really fit, like girl with a tall torso and long legs. And I'm like, I love her style. And then mm-hmm. I put that on and I look like I'm in Sweeney Todd the musical. Yeah. It does not translate mm-hmm. on my body because I'm 5'3".
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On a good day.
That can definitely be frustrating for sure. And for the record, Mary-Kate and Ashley are much shorter than me too. So it's about drawing inspiration, not necessarily like the exact pieces. In terms of proportions, I think that's a huge piece of figuring out how to shop for your body. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to underline that any insecurities or your proportions are never a challenge that you have to overcome with your styling, which sometimes, you know, inherently, like, we see them that way.
Yeah.
You know, I have broad shoulders, or I have really short legs, or I have a short torso, or, you know, I have short feet and, like, I can't fit into any of these, you know, designer shoes or, like, really nice shoes or the specific thing that I want to wear because of my body being this way. Mm-hmm. I think we need to, you know, totally dispel a lot of that. And it's very normal to have an insecurity about something on your body. Mm-hmm. That in and of itself, it should be normalized.
Well, I think, like, a lot of times with me, it takes me out of wanting to really dig into style. I personally love clothes. I love fashion. I love that kind of stuff. But my body, sometimes I really fight against. And I'm like, I don't like these things. So I end up just wearing one type of outfit that I know, like, okay, this will do, you know, and I'm not really able to express myself through clothing because of those limitations that I perceive.
Yeah.
So how do you actually get past those or learn?
Yeah. I think the experience of shopping, clothes shopping, should be one that is hopefully successful and is fun, and you get to try things on. And I'm a big fan of trying things on in store. If I'm going to, like, a brick and mortar, or if I'm going to, you know, a thrift store or something, I like having the ability to physically try the clothes on myself, on my own body, because even holding it out, it looks like maybe something I have in my closet that works well, but until you put it on, it's really hard to know. Mm-hmm. I would encourage people to try that experience more and give yourself time to experience it in store. I also think when you are shopping in a store, there are associates whose job it is to make that shopping experience pleasurable and successful for you. So they're going to ask you, like, hey, what are you shopping for? Or what's your size typically? Can I help you find something?
Oh my God, usually I avoid those people like the plague.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, like, we do want to just be in our own little bubble if we know what we're shopping for. If we're laser focused, we're like, we're in here for high-waisted black wash, boot cut, low-rise jeans. Like, I know what I'm here for. I don't need, you know, the outside help. But for maybe someone who's struggling with, you know, I don't really know what size I am, or I like this, but it doesn't really look good on me when I try it, lean on those people who know the store, know the brands, know the products really well, and they can help you. Maybe you're a size 28 and they'll be like, well, sometimes these fit differently. So try a 27, try a 29. And also, like, let go of any insecurities, which is more, you know, easier said than done. If you do have to go up or down a size in something, that's, I've had to learn. I mean, I got 5'10 legs, but I have a Pixar mom ass. So it doesn't fit in a lot of jeans that, like, they used to fit in. So sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, we're up a bit, but that's okay, girly. Like, you got hips. Yeah. It's normal.
I think that's a big thing, getting over the numbers and just being okay with, like, okay, today I'm a small and here I'm a large.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, and we're told, you know, like, you have to be a certain shape or size. I mean, Mean Girls, like, you can try Sears. It's like, okay, maybe I will try Sears. You know, if they have my size, I'm going to Sears.
Right.
So we have to, that's a lot of work that we have to do to kind of, like, work through that and kind of get over those insecurities. And then ultimately, like, lean on people who are there to help you through the experience.
So we found our inspo.
Jake Bellorti.
Yep. We're figuring out our Pixar ass. How do we know, like, what style do I want? Do I want to be grunge? Do I want to be boho chic? Yeah. How do we figure that out?
Yeah. I think it's helpful to just know at a high level what, like, the categories of fashion style kind of are. There's about 8 of them. There's sporty, preppy, classic, casual, grunge, punk. We cannot forget boho. So when you think about those, it's almost like taking one of those, like, BuzzFeed quizzes, like, which one do I align with most? Mm-hmm. And you can kind of start to think about, like, even those words, what do I feel pulled to in those? So I have my style inspo, right? I have, like, Mary-Kate and Ashley, I got the twins, and I got Jacob Bellorti.
Right.
Dream foursome, by the way. So in, like, unpacking their style, I think they all have, like, a very comfortable, casual, a bit of sporty with hints of prep and almost a little bit of that like street wear, like more on the Jacob Elordi side.
That is literally how I would describe your style.
Yes, that's exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. That's why I gravitate towards like what I see them wearing with a little bit of edge, right? Like sometimes they throw a curveball, sometimes he'll wear a kilt and I'm like, okay, that's a choice. But I like that. I like that it's unpredictable too. So I think knowing that is really helpful. And then you can use those terms when you go into a shop and you're like, hey, I kind of tend to wear this type of style. I'm looking for this kind of thing. Here are my proportions. Though, like I said, lean on those associates in the store who are able to help you through that.
Love that. I didn't even know those 8 categories. I'm learning so much.
Yeah. I mean, there's nuances for sure. Like then some crossovers and things like that. And like, I like to sprinkle in a bit of this with a little bit of that one day. It's not so like cut and dry, fast and loose, but you know, once you kind of have that as like a baseline, it's a really good starting point, you know, to jump off from.
I feel like I have a closet full of clothes and every day I just sit in there and I'm like, what in the actual fuck am I going to wear?
I have so many clothes and no outfits.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very common. Very common.
So what the fuck do I do?
Yeah. So I think what's really helpful, if you feel like very overwhelmed and you're like, I don't really, none of these pieces are even like speaking to me almost anymore. Mm-hmm. Or it's just like you open your closet and you're like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. I can't stress enough the value in sitting down and taking an actual inventory. This is, you're going to have to commit.
Nightmare.
This can take hours depending on how many clothes you have. But this is very, very helpful. And I'll tell you, my girlfriend has very limited clothes. She doesn't have like a huge wardrobe. I have a lot of clothes. I'm a collector, but she's really quick about like, I haven't worn that. I'm pitching it. So she has a very like small wardrobe and she was kind of running into this problem. She's like, I don't have something to wear. Just kind of like everyday stuff. Yeah. And so I was like, girl, let me whip out that Google sheet. And we came up with this.
A Google sheet.
Oh my, I'm so type A. It's
this
like,
is a commitment.
I need the visual.
I'm starting to sweat.
So we
have how to use Google Sheets.
You're gonna learn, girl. Oh, I'm gonna teach you. We sat down and we literally categorized every single item of her clothes: jeans, denim, pants, high-waisted pants, low-waisted pants, tops, you know, tank tops, t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, everything you can imagine. And we categorize everything with like a data validation and grouped things. And then we took it one step further and took stock of the color of each item. Okay. And we got to see, like, we sat down and visualized because it was, everything was color coordinated in the individual cells of this inventory. And we got to see, like, holy cow, you have so many colorful clothes. And they're also like very specific events. You have a lot of like summery dresses, but you don't have like basics to wear to the office every day. Mm-hmm. You have no like neutrals. Everything's kind of loud. You have a lot of plaid. And you got a lot of denim. And like that was a really good like visual representation of like, this is your closet. This is actually what you have. And we got to take that then and say like, okay, when we go shopping, we know exactly what you need. You need like basic white t-shirts in many different colors. You need like more everyday shorts or pants. You don't have nearly enough jackets that are kind of everyday basics. Everything she had was really sort of like a statement piece. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a lot of statement pieces, you can't wear, none of those work on like the everyday level.
Totally.
So that was like, wow, that was the gap that we had. So I can't stress enough, like taking an inventory, like actually learning your clothes. There's so many things I have that have fallen to the back near the emotional support femme pieces. And I'm like, holy, well, I spent so much money on this jacket. I never even wear it.
Right.
And it's like, well, let's get that bad boy to the front. So I think taking inventory of your closet, but also cycling through it. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't worn it, donate it.
Get rid of it.
Yeah. Don't cling on to those pieces. If it's not serving you now, it's not going to serve you in 6 months or a year.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think like once you have that sort of capsule wardrobe, like you have your basic set and you have, you know, your bread and butter items that you wear, don't overlook accessories. Like I, as you can tell, like big fan of hats, sunglasses are huge, shoes,
oh my
jewelry.
God, Cage, me and Cage love a sunglass.
Love sunglasses.
We do bond.
Can't
over
say
that.
Enough. And they're such good like conversation pieces that everyone's like, whoa, like those are cool. Like those are new. It's not something that everyone else has. It's something really unique that like you picked out. There's thousands upon thousands of sunglasses, hats, shoes. Those are the things where I think if you kind of wear more like neutral, like more muted tones, kind of like me, those are the ways in which you can really spice something up. Like, mm-hmm. I don't wear a ton of bright colors, but I have this emotional support bright ass orange beanie that I cling to. And it's like this random pop of orange that I'll wear with like an all black or all white kind of outfit. And that's like, again, that little streetwear hint.
The way you wear that hat is so sick. It's so unexpected.
Yeah, it's a little unexpected. Same thing, like the way your shoes can be like that, or the bag you use. Mm-hmm. You know, my girlfriend's carrying all my shit, so I don't carry a lot of bags. But you know, if you carry a purse, like you can have a whole, you know, pop of your outfit through a really cool accessory like that. So don't overlook accessories.
I love that. Okay, what about shopping for specific occasions? Weddings can be so tough when you don't want to be too femme or too masculine. Like, what the fuck do I pick out?
Yeah, weddings can be tough from experience. Been there.
Or anything like formal.
Yeah, it is a struggle. And I haven't figured it all out. Like, every time one comes up, I have this like tightness in my chest. I'm like, what am I going to wear? Especially for something like a wedding when like it's someone else's day and it's not about me. And I need to make sure that I'm wearing something that I feel comfortable in, but that also they approve of. Like, I've been in weddings and I've had to talk to the bride. In some cases, it's my sister, like most recently. In the other cases, it's like some of my best friends. And I'm like, I don't think I can't wear that bridesmaid's dress. Right. And they're like, yeah, bitch, I wasn't expecting you to. Like, sometimes that's the conversation we have. And then we talk about, you know, what, you know, I just send them options. Like, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm comfortable with. Definitely found a lot of comfort, way more comfort in like full pant rompers than I ever had with dresses because it's towing that line, right? Mm-hmm. It's different. It's more covered up. I'm not accentuating, you know, curves that I don't want to accentuate. It's not super feminine. I can still, you know, at my one friend's wedding, the after party, I wore sneakers. Like, I dressed it how I would want to dress it.
Right.
But that's still, you know, I'm still not comfortable like wearing maybe a full suit to a formal event like a wedding. You know, that's another like phase or, you know, transition that I'm still not ready to maybe make that leap to just yet. And maybe I will one day, you know. But I think it's really just about being like super open and honest with yourself about like, am I comfortable in this or am I not? And people are going to tell. And like when I went to that wedding for my best friend, I was in the wedding and I was wearing this full romper. Every other bridesmaid's wearing the matching dress. And so many people, older women especially, like grandparents came up to me. They were like, I've never seen someone wear a romper like that, like in a wedding. You look amazing. And like, you are rocking that. And what a cool like thing to think about. Like, it's so different. And like, that looks great. And I was like, this is a validation. Like, sweet. Like, right. You guys are noticing that I am so comfortable. And if I was in something different, it wouldn't have been that way.
Right.
And they would have been, you know, been able to tell that too. So it's okay to like not feel great like 1,000% of the time. But just, you know, toe the line, experiment with different things.
Right.
Go shop somewhere where you've never been and just be like, let me just try this on. You don't have to buy it. Just see how you feel. And if it brings out something in you, it's like, whoa, this is new. Again, like spark new inspiration or a new feeling, then, you know, maybe consider getting it or shop at similar stores.
Yeah, I love that. All right. What advice do you have for someone who's in a style rut?
Yeah, been there. It's not fun to feel like, you know, I'm wearing the same thing like a little bit too much or I just haven't figured it out. Like, what is, none of this maybe feels true to me.
It makes you not want to go out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not leaving the house.
Yeah, totally. Because you want to, every time you go out, you know, for the most part, I think people want to be like, yeah, I'm hot shit. I'm rocking this. I'm so cool. I'm so proud to show off this cool new piece. And when you aren't feeling like that and everything feels a little monotonous and kind of the same, it's hard. Yeah. You become a little bit of a homebody. I do rock a little bit of the same look sometimes. And I'm like, am I doing anything new here? Mm-hmm. And so I think first thing is like, yeah, recognizing like, what is it that needs to change? Is it because, do I feel like I'm in a rut because I'm wearing a lot of the same stuff? And in which case I would, again, like really encourage like cool accessorizing, I think is really neat. Looking back on your style inspirations, like what are your friends wearing? Like, who was the last person that you saw who wore something where you were like, whoa, that was new. That caught me by surprise. I think some people who do this really well, for example, are like Billie Eilish. She's so unexpected sometimes. Like, even in award shows where typically, you know, the expectation is that you're going to be in some formal kind of wear, she she sometimes walks out and I'm like, whoa, I don't know that I was expecting that. Mm-hmm. And you look amazing. So I think it's, again, like drawing that new, like fresh set of eyes, like new inspiration. Look at someone who's doing something that is reigniting something in you and be like, okay, yeah, let me try some of that. The newness piece is really helpful. And so, again, taking inventory, clearing out the things that you're not wearing is mm-hmm. huge. I have an emotional attachment to a lot of things in my closet. They're like my babies. And it's hard to let go of those things. Because you're like, well, what if I wear this baby tee that I've had since I was 10? And what if I wear that thing that doesn't fit me? It's like, it's not going to fit you.
Right.
You know, I have to tell myself, like, we haven't worn this in 2 years. What makes me think I'm going to wear it in the next 2 years, let alone the next 6 months?
Right.
But you re-familiarize yourself with like, oh my God, yeah, I have all this stuff.
Yes, and it's intention.
And at one point I really liked this. So why am I not wearing it now? Did I just forget about it? Or is this no longer me? Mm-hmm. And then let that shit go.
Yeah. Evolve.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, Cage. Mm. What are you working on in therapy?
Recently, I heard someone talk about the concept of, it was a woman on TikTok. I'd have to look up her name to credit her. She was talking about the concept of, in her relationship, what has worked well is with her husband is figuring out when either of them are like in the captain's seat or like in the driver's seat of a thing. I think in the context of her video, I think she was talking about, you know, they had a new kid, a brand new baby, and they were taking these shifts. And so rather than like both of them being awake and on at all times to like take care in the middle of the night of the baby and what's needed, one of them was like, I'm in the captain tonight. Like I'm on shift right now. And so if I need the other one to jump in, you can almost operate like autonomously and absentmindedly because the other person is like, we need XYZ done. I need you here. I need you to put that bottle here. And what helps, I think, in having that kind of dynamic where one person is like taking the lead, the other one is like, cool, I'm following you, like I'm co-pilot, is not only does it have like very distinct opportunities for one person to lead in an area that is their strength, but it also allows the other person to prevent themselves from getting emotionally offended, perhaps, by maybe like orders and direction that's given to them.
Yeah.
I think I need to do more of that in my relationship. I'm a child of divorced parents and it was not like a fun time at all, for any of my siblings, myself. And so I think, you know, that was a situation where like I lost control. I didn't have control. So bad things happen when I didn't have control. And so I like to, in my relationships and my friendships, I like to be in control. And I like to be the one in the driver's seat a lot. And that is not a sustainable approach to a balanced relationship. And I'm also not giving my partner enough space to really shine in ways that, you know, where she's probably has way more strengths or knowledge or experience in something than I do. So I'm almost like signing myself up like voluntarily. I'm like, me, pick me, like Katniss Everdeen, like for everything.
Right.
And it's not, you know, it's just not fun. And it's, you know, I can get burnt out very easily. Mm. So I'm working on like having more of that balance in each of us, like being like, yeah, I'm driver tonight in this thing, or I'm going to be in the driver's seat for planning this trip or for what we're doing this weekend, or I'm captaining, you know, making dinner tonight, something really small even. So I think incorporating more of that, like thinking and intention behind having like more balance in the roles that we play in certain regards in our relationship would be really helpful. So working towards that at the moment.
The word intention, I feel like is the important part, because Matilda and I, like running a business together, I think a lot of things just kind of naturally fall into place. Like she's good at this and I'm good at this. And so it kind of happens the way it's supposed to without a lot of like real kind of communication about the separation. And also like having a puppy together. I'm morning shift, she's night shift. It's kind of natural like that. But I think that it's just the way it happens.
Right.
But I think really communicating about it and being like, okay, here's the shifts and here's the roles, and like having the intention behind it can really set you up for success and like having the communication prior to having the problem is key.
Yeah, totally. And I think for me, especially, the one thing was like, I made so many assumptions about how my partner wanted things to be. And I assumed you want me to take the lead on so many things. And I do like to do that. I want to be, again, this is like that masculine little tomboy cage at 5 years old who was like, I want to be the provider and I want to be able to do all things. And there's an element of control from, you know, lived experiences that I've had. But I'm making assumptions about what the dynamic she wants or to what degree she needs me to provide when I never even asked. And even furthermore, you know, I, to your point, leaning into where your strengths are, but there's sometimes there's no growth there. So if I'm only doing the things that I'm really good at and she's only, I'm delegating and she's taking up the things that she's really good at, where are we kind of learning new skills? Or like maybe she wants to like plan that trip, or maybe she wants to, you know, make the dinner tonight. And I typically do because that's maybe what I like to do and my strength, but I got to let go, you know, like let me allow her to take this one and, and she can learn something new and I can learn something new and I can, most importantly, with delegating all of that, you know, you get to get more bandwidth back yourself and you can, you don't have to take on so much is what I'm learning.
I like that. Sounds like, babe, maybe you want to take morning shift so that we can allow for growth.
I think, Matilda, there's a lot you can be learned that could be learned from that. Yeah.
There's a lot that could be learned at 6 a.m.
Yeah. But one thing that we're not compromising on is like, I drive. I physically drive. You can be in the driver's seat, but like I will be driving the physical car. You're for a forever passenger princess.
Honestly, that's in my relationship as well. It's like never even a question.
Yeah, never.
Now we U-Haul you ghosts.
Oh, okay.
She still watches Grey's Anatomy.
U-Haul. I still watch Survivor. I'm like the only living person keeping that show alive. So
that is absolutely not true. Grey's Anatomy. We have been through 3 plane crashes.
Derek has died 6 times.
Bombs in chests.
I'm still, it's cute. It's nostalgia. It's, you know, let's put it on while we do the dishes. It's cute.
Do you want to know when they lost me?
Tell me.
There's an episode of Grey's Anatomy where they are in the operating room singing the fray How to Save a Life.
Oh, I think I've seen that. I think that was the last episode I watched.
If you made
Shonda
it past
Rhimes
that,
has really kind of like come up with some new material here.
If you made it past that episode, you're a true fan.
Yeah, die hard.
Yeah, you deserve an award. Yeah. And that's what concerns me about this one. If you made it
fair,
past that.
I'm still you hauling. Yeah.
Okay. What about if she wears the same outfit every day, like Steve Jobs style?
Cute, reliable, U-Haul. I think that's nothing wrong, really.
I'm actually shocked with how much of a style person you are.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with breaking your bread and butter. And I do imagine the Steve Jobs, you know, like you open his closet, it's like the same, like black turtleneck, same jeans, same pair of shoes.
It literally is.
But like, if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know? There's something nostalgic and like homey about that too, so...
All right. That's a shocking answer.
It's also a great starting point. So if you have a great foundation that, you know, like this is my shit, I love to rock this 258, we can work off of that and like slowly, hopefully incorporate some like new pieces, but you have a great foundation. So I'll U-Haul that.
I love when people are like, yeah, U-Haul, but I'm going to change you.
Ever so slightly over time. Yeah.
U-Haul with some tweaks.
Yeah.
Okay.
With fine. Some spice.
Okay. What about... if she's part of a wellness cult.
You had me at wellness. Cult is tough. I'm not sure I'd be able to pack up and back that U-Haul in right away.
Really? That's a ghost?
I mean, cult?
I don't know
that I would support any cult behavior.
I feel like I might be part of a wellness cult.
Oh, okay. Want to talk about it?
Yeah, I do that.
Are you allowed to talk about it?
You know that To Be Magnetic that me and Alex do? It's like the journaling and like...
Okay, journaling, super healthy though. So
yeah,
there are elements of like wellness.
But we like pay to be a part of it.
Are healthy, but...
It's borderline culty. That's why wellness cults, you're like, you're on the cusp of cult.
Yeah, that's too... You're flying too close to the sun still. I'm going to...
You don't like it.
Yeah, okay. We're going
to ghost. We wouldn't have worked out. Yeah. You wouldn't have liked my To Be Magnetic.
That's okay. It's not for me. Not for you. It's okay.
All right, Cage. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
I just love you
so
much. I love talking to you. What is your final words?
Oh, God. How much time do we have? I have so much I want to say. I honestly have so much love in my heart for my watching my two friends like build something this incredible. It's a pleasure to be on and talking to you. And I'm so excited to see what you guys do in the future. It's really just the beginning. So cheers to you, gal. We made it out.
We made it out. Love you.
Love you, too.
Thank y'all for listening to the episode. As always, help us spread the gay agenda by writing an Apple review, rating us on Spotify, and sharing with everyone you've ever met. You can find today's guest at Cage the Animal, our show at Made It Out Podcast, and me at Mal Glowinki. Made It Out is produced and edited by Matilda Jordan and worked on solely by lesbians.
Make the rules, darling. We do not have to scissor. I'm so gay for you.